chapter 4, if I didn't say that already. Mark chapter 4, I'm going to start reading in verse 35. It says, "In the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. When they had sent away the multitudes, they took him, even as he was in the ship, and there was also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full." Other texts, you have this in Matthew and also in Luke. It mentions it, how it was covered in water as a result of this storm. Verse 38 says, "And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow," speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, "and they awake him and said unto him, Master, carest not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Let's go ahead and pray. Father in heaven, Lord, I do love you. Lord, I ask your blessing upon the message this morning. I pray for your help. Lord, please guide my thoughts, guide what I say, and even how I say it. I pray that it would be under your control, that, Lord, that your Spirit and your Word would work today in the hearts of all those who are present. Use this to strengthen us, to comfort, to encourage, to reprove, to rebuke, to do what is needed, Lord. And that it would truly, that we would leave here different than when we walked in, that we would not be the same. Lord, those who here who are dealing with different thoughts that are even distracting them right now from hearing your word, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would just give that peace of mind that they could sit down and listen to your word this morning. I pray especially for those here who are present that have never truly been converted. Lord, that if they're to die right now, they'd actually be found guilty in judgment and spend an eternity separated from you in hell. Lord, I pray for them. I pray that even this morning that they would repent and place their faith in Christ. Lord, please use this for your honor and glory. And Lord, I love you and I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. I would imagine there has been times in your life, just like in mine, when you are truly following the Lord and trying to do what's right. You're not in open rebellion. As far as you know and how the Lord has been directing, you've been following in submission, and when falling, repenting and asking for the Lord's forgiveness and trying to serve the Lord. And yet at times, even though that's taking place, all of a sudden everything seems to be against you. You find yourself in the midst of a storm. Or a time when you have determined, I am going to follow the Lord. I see the error of my way. And you set out. You're not being a hypocrite. You say, I'm going to follow him. And you do. And then before you know it, you find yourself in the midst of a storm. Again, when we arrived in New Guinea, back going all the way back to the fall of 2003, literally within 15 minutes, great storms arrived, if you will. We had tremendous battles and we had just arrived. We couldn't even communicate out to let anybody know what was taking place in those moments, during that time. In our text, we have disciples who, of course, have surrendered to following Christ. They have left all that they have known. They have given their life to him. They are his disciples, become his apostles. They are following the Lord, and yet here they are, following Christ, and they find themselves in the midst of a storm, believing they are going to perish. Yet they are going to see something truly amazing. They have already witnessed the power of Christ over disease and over blindness and deafness and multitudes healed. They have heard Him speak with such power and seen the multitudes just hanging on every word as He spoke. They have never heard a man speak like this, but now they're going to see Him from another angle that they have never witnessed before. They're on the Sea of Galilee, a lake that is 13 miles by 8 miles. I was going to show a picture of it from back in 2023 when the church sent me and my wife to the Sea of Galilee. They even got out the photos and went through them. And again, I so appreciate the church sending us to Israel, to just to be in that place that you have studied your entire life. So they're on the Sea of Galilee. It has mountains coming around. There was a video I almost showed. I was showing the mountains coming around with Tiberias on one side, Capernaum down the way. And the Sea of Galilee is known because of the topography, I guess is the word, that storms can arise quickly. It has the mountains and the Mediterranean Sea over to the west, and winds would come swooping down, and it can really produce some very fierce storms on that small sea. This is what's happening in our text. During this time, the Bible makes the point that Christ is asleep with His head on a pillow. So it's a sin if you don't sleep with a pillow, just so you know. We have a lot of Baptist preaching like that sometimes, by the way, so you know. This is, by the way, really, I'm sure he slept every day, well, except for the nights he would stay up all night. Directly seeing him asleep, though, this is the first and only time in the Gospels that we actually see this. The disciples, of course, are afraid. They believe the boat is going to sink, and with very good reason they believe the boat is going to sink. So they wake the Lord, ask Him to save us. Do you not care that we perish? In Matthew, Jesus rebukes them first for their fear, calling out their little faith or no faith, and asking the Lord to save us. Do you not care that we perish? You can see it, you can hear it, where they don't understand. Why is this happening? We're going to die now. Do you not care? Jesus rebukes them. He rebukes them for their fear and their little faith. Of course, we see it when He rebukes the storm, and immediately the Bible describes it as a great calm. In an instant, a fierce storm there on that sea, and the moment He speaks the word, that Sea of Galilee becomes like glass. Up to this point, they have not marveled to this degree by any other miracle that has taken place yet. Not like they did when He calmed the sea. To the point they say, "What manner of man is this that even the winds and sea obey Him?" Listen, this just is not, understand this, this is eyewitness accounts of what took place. We're not reading fairy tales and stories from a religious book. And within this text, we can gain understanding, why at times we have storms in our life. Some storms are a result of disobedience. This one is not. Jonah suffered massive storms in his life because of disobedience. And I'm not going to deal with those today. Some storms are really provided by God to prevent us from getting off in a very wrong direction in life. There's an example of that in John chapter 6 when they wanted to set up Christ as king. This text gives us another angle, another principle, another truth about storms. of why God allows storms in our life, even ones from Satan. I think this text shows us the greatness of God and how we can absolutely have peace in the midst of a storm. I'm going to focus primarily just on two areas, two points this morning, and that's it. I want to look at this storm in relation to our Christian walk, and then secondly, how those storms in this example work in our relationship to God, which is above everything in life. Now, we know that storms, without a doubt, will come when you determine you're going to follow the Lord. They will take place. Don't be surprised. There will always, always be opposition to the will of God. When you determine, I will serve God, opposition is coming. Storms, as we see in this text, can lead you to believe that you are sinking. And there could be a reality to it, just like there was in this text. Because when you put all three of this text together, what we have is we had a boat that was truly, genuinely filling with water, which will sink it rapidly. The boat really should have sunk. So why didn't the boat sink? Simple. The Lord was in the boat. When the Lord is in your boat, the circumstances are not in control. He is. So what we have to put ourselves in a position is to make sure the Lord is in our boat. Now, that brings me to the first point here I want to get to, dealing with the storms and our walk, our Christian walk. It is really through difficulties, problems, opposition, storms that reveal where your character is, where your walk truly is. We can easily deceive ourselves and believe we are doing great. Remember when Peter betrayed Christ? He truly believed of the strength that he had spiritually. But of course, the Lord knew. The Lord knew the weakness of his heart and where he really was. He understood he did not have the strength that he thought he had. And of course, when he was faced with it, he denies Christ. He realizes, man, my faith is small. My strength is little. John Mark realized that on his first missionary journey. Storms reveal the strength of your faith and the reality of fear. Again, I remember setting out before leaving for the day before leaving for New Guinea. And we're in a missionary homes there in Florida. And I'm just sick to my stomach. I am without a doubt afraid. Watching Mary and Rocker, I'll make sure everything's together. We're leaving, I don't know, like 3, 4 in the morning for the airport that next morning. And watching my kids just playing. The oldest, Daniel, at this time, 11 years old, I think, about this time. Bethany, 6 years old. And just watching them play and just, keep in mind, I don't know any missionaries there yet. I don't know the Crotts. I don't know the Thruns. The only missionary I knew was no longer in country. And I'm heading straight in. And I'm ready to throw up. And my thoughts are, what in the world am I doing? The storms, and little did I know the storms we were getting ready to go through. the disciples had the Lord in their boat. He was right there. Yet they thought, they believed, we are going to perish. They believed they are at the mercy of the circumstances. The truth is, they could have been sleeping next to the Lord. There are times in storms when you will not understand what the Lord is doing. I mean, in our text, they certainly didn't understand what the Lord was doing in the midst of a storm. He's asleep. Disciples truly thought he doesn't even care. Their view was wrong. It is so easy in the midst of a storm to have your view and your perspective skewed when the fear is controlling and not your faith. So, when it comes to a storm, faith will determine whether you think the Lord does not care or you can actually rest in the midst of the storm. Those are common of two responses. Either you think, listen, the Lord doesn't even care. I believe God is there, but He just doesn't care. Or faith, strong faith says, nope, I don't understand it, but the Lord is here. He is with me. I'm okay. Levi, bring that up here for me. I think it was Brother Wright that had made this for me. I'm not going to tell the story this morning. I have no intention of that. But for those of you that know it, there's a Doritos story from New Guinea. And, you know, 6 months into it, all the problems and nightmares that we were going through, and the Lord solved everything through a simple bag of Doritos. You want to know what the bag of Doritos simply reminded me of? The Lord's in the boat. He's in the boat. It's okay. Listen, the Lord is there. He's in the boat. And Brother Wright, there's been plenty of times I've used this. Had to remind myself, looking at the Lord's in the boat. He's there. He is right there. And a note I discovered was there would be several reasons why, but the Lord no doubt used all that time in my own life simply demonstrating to me, where is your faith? You see, when it comes to the storms, that's one thing that they do is they reveal character. They reveal faith. And I know this, that without faith it is impossible to please Him. So if I am in a position where I want to please the Lord, do you know what I need? It was easy to have great faith as the assistant pastor of the Independent Baptist Church of Anchorage. You know that? Everybody liked me. That was so easy to have great faith. I just didn't realize how easy it was. There was nothing to exercise my faith. It's like the difference between working out in a toddler gym and a real gym. I was in the toddler gym. Man, this is easy. I got this. Then I find myself with real weights. And I was in trouble. The strength I thought I had, I didn't have. When we have an unhealthy fear of something, where faith should be in control, but it's not, listen to me, you will make really wrong decisions. 1 John, they will not surrender to the will of God. The Lord is leading, but there's a measure of fear there with God directing in their life. There's a measure of, wait, man, if I really surrender to the Lord, if I really want to make my life about God, you know, and don't get me wrong, you should count the cost. That's scriptural. I don't think we ignore those things. I just think you should see that God is above all, that there's nothing in this world that should surpass Him. Nothing. Some will never, never enjoy that strong relationship with God because the fear controls you way too much. When you have, an unhealthy fear of something, you make wrong decisions. When Levi was small in New Guinea, he had a great fear, abnormal fear of shots and pills. Well, the kid had malaria a bazillion times. Guess what's necessary for malaria? Shots and pills. His unhealthy fear left to himself would have killed him. And I remember time and time watching Marion grab that boy and literally just shove it down his throat. She didn't do that to be mean. She did that to save his life because his fear wasn't allowing any other way for it to take place. And there's times in God's mercy and grace, He has to shove some things right down our throat. And that's out of His mercy and grace to protect you in spite of your fear. Faith is directly tied to our response to a storm. Daniel will remember this. We were coming back from New Hanover. Remember the time we left? That's when the bridge broke and the front part of the truck fell through. So we're coming back from New Hanover, me and Daniel, with several other people on the boat. I was preaching on another island called New Hanover. And we're coming back. The way there was great. Perfect seas, ocean. And so we leave the island of New Hanover, and everything's great at first. We stop off at this little tiny island just to get some kulau, some coconut milk and take a small break. Then we get back on the boat, they're small banana boats, and we turn on the other side of this island, and the ocean was horrible. High seas, wind, rain started hitting, and we put up this tarp over all of us in the boat. With the rains coming down, the boat's getting splashed, and I can see fear on everybody's face, and I would keep on sticking my head at what made me afraid. Was when I saw the boat captain's face, the one guy who's out there trying to drive, he just stands up. You know, it's just a 40-horse Yamaha engine. And you could see his eyes are huge. And so I'm back under, and I'm like, okay, I cannot scream, we're all going to die. Because if we do make it out of this, nobody's going to come hear the missionary preach. So I have to pretend like I have faith right now. Which is what I was doing. We also learn from this concerning our walk with God, a biblical view of safety. And this can cover multitudes of areas, not just physically. We tend to look at safety in a sense purely from a circumstantial way. But safety is based on the Lord being in the boat. Our safety, as the book of Psalms is of the Lord. God is not bound by circumstances. It is the storms that allow us to accurately gauge where our faith is. The experience of the storm will strengthen your faith when you allow the Lord to work. Now, which brings me to the second point and last point, looking at storms, now tying in what I just said with our relationship to God. It is without a doubt, no question about it, when we are personally in storms, that we can find God so astounding, wonderful, amazing, and powerful. It's in the storms, in other words, that we can glorify God at a whole nother level. I mean, could you imagine just seeing this take place where the Lord, these boats weren't all that huge that He is on. So the storm is hitting, the boat's taking in water, He is asleep in the boat. The disciples coming and just solid fear all over the face. Lord, we perish, carest thou not? We're getting ready to go under. And the Lord just says, peace, be still. It's done. They did not expect that. And they marveled. What manner of man is this? That even the winds and the seas obey Him. And that is without a doubt, I can show it from several different examples during the life of Christ when He was on the earth. It is one of the primary things that He was doing is for us to get to that place when we see His power and His strength that we, in with a true heart, glorify Him. The only thing our churches know today and how they think they're glorifying God is controlled by a bunch of secular music. And they relate that to glorifying God. And God's power is truly amazing. God's power is actually evident every day in our life at a scale much greater than what happened on the Sea of Galilee. And we experience it every single day and we take it for granted. Think about these. I had a talk this morning with ChatGPT. Right now our planet is spinning at just over 1,000 miles per hour. We don't even know it. It is traveling at a speed through, as we're orbiting here, of 67,000 miles per hour. Now, those stats I knew. The ones to come, I did not know. Our entire solar system, which is in the center of the Milky Way, is traveling at 514,000 miles per hour. I mean, while we're spinning, going around the sun, our solar system that we're in is also moving at the exact same time. Now, it gets interesting how ChatGPT had to word this. I'll get there in just a second. He said, even bigger, the entire Milky Way galaxy we now know is moving at the same time. Scientists have measured the Milky Way galaxy to be moving at a speed of 1.3 million miles per hour. All this is taking place right now. And this is what it said, that scientists call this, the Milky Way is moving towards a space, toward the Great Attractor, is the name they gave it. I'm thinking, yeah. They don't even know what to call this. You know what? God is in control. His greatness and His power is all around us. But there's nothing like when that great sovereign God is in control of all this can come right into your life with a storm and show Himself great. We can get too distracted by... It's amazing. Man can get so full of himself, he'll exclaim over a high-rise that he built. When compared to looking around at creation, it is nothing. Man can't create that flower. You know that joke I heard many years ago was it was this atheistic, or not anymore, this scientist before God, and the scientist said that he's able to do anything that God can do in creation. And said he could even make man. He said, oh, you can. Yes, I can. So the scientist goes and grabs a bunch of dirt, and God said, no, make your own dirt. I thought, yeah, that's pretty good right there. We create nothing. We manipulate things that God has already given us. It is through the storms that we begin to marvel at God's greatness, at His power. It's during those times. I mean, in truth, it was one of the sweetest times in my life, and my circumstances never changed when I saw a simple bag of Doritos. Perhaps my favorite thing about this text is the fear they had at the calming was greater than the fear they had in the storm. It was exceeding, the Bible says, at the calming. This, though, is a healthy fear. This is the fear that we need to have, a genuine fear of the Lord, because they knew, I mean, it was almost like they also had to be reminded whose presence they're in. That it wasn't just commonplace, that you're actually in the presence of the Creator Himself. That there is a holiness about Him, a power about Him. He's not your boyfriend. He's the Creator of the universe. Again, this is a healthy fear. This is the one that helps you to glorify God and say, God, I do want my life about You. I mean, think of how this moment, by the way, would help all of these men in the future. I think it's this moment when Peter looked back, when he's sitting in a prison facing execution, that he could sleep. It is when God responds to the storm. It is when God responded to the storm, that they asked, not until then, what manner of man is this? In other words, listen to me, their knowledge was increasing of God. It was growing. And if God has worked in your life in the past, listen to me, listen. If He's brought you through storms in the past, don't forget it. If you've had your own moments where similar to this one, where God did something special in the midst of a difficult time, don't you forget it. Because I'll tell you what, of course, he was never converted, but Judas Iscariot forgot about the man he was dealing with. Don't forget about those times when God did show Himself strong. And we can notice from this text, too, that God's, the proportion of the greatness of the calm was in according to the greatness and strength of the storm. You see, it's in those times, just like with Lazarus, when Christ waited the 4 days, you know, he didn't go and immediately out to head to heal Lazarus, and he had died, of course, when the men left. But it's at that moment, this is about the last week of Christ's life when he heals Lazarus. I mean, literally, he's actually on his way to Jerusalem for what would be the triumphant entry when he raises Lazarus from the dead. He knows what his disciples are getting ready to go through. He knows all that's getting ready to take place. He could have just spoken and healed Lazarus, but he didn't. And he even told the disciples why. He said this, he told them it was for them. Because at the moment they saw Lazarus walk out of that tomb, wrapped in grave clothes, coming out, nobody went in there to get him. Christ just said, Lazarus, come out. When that man came out, still wrapped in grave clothes, just like on that boat, I guarantee you, every single one of those apostles looked right at Christ and just thought, wow. And you know what we need? Those wow moments. The problem is, to get to those, many times we go through storms. What you got to remember is, the Lord's in the boat. If the fear begins to control during the storm, you're going to make wrong decisions. Allow faith to drive it. A dependence upon God. With heads bowed and eyes closed. Actually, look at me just for a minute.